welcome back to
Goodreads, Better Friends.
I did not understand the assignment.
It's like, I guess I'll say all of it.
I'm sorry, I failed. Okay.
If you can't tell, it's been a minute since we did this.
Oh, yeah.
World. I feel like we took a hiatus and then we took a short other hiatus.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. But I mean, this year has just been full. Like, we've both done so much since the beginning. Like, I don't know. It's a positive hiatus. It's not like bad, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah. We've been busy doing big things in our lives. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
We're growing.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm trying. Sure trying.
Yeah, definitely trying.
We hope all of you, our listeners, have been having a good summer, too. It's been most of the summer, hasn't it?
Yeah. Despite COVID, hopefully you have been having a good year.
Living it up while you can.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people have, like, taken the opportunity to do things they've either wanted to do or like have been putting aside for whatever reason, which is really cool. Right. And then some people haven't, and that's also fine because we're still going through a lot. So,
Yeah, I think we all have to handle it in our own individual ways.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be.
Yeah. Can't expect everyone to be productive and hard times. What can we say?
But thank you all for being patient with us while we took some time off. Like we just said, we've both had a lot going on and it's good stuff. But it's just hard to make time to record and get guests together and honestly even read, which is what our podcast is about. So it's hard to set time aside for that. So thank you for being patient with us.
Yeah, seriously. Well, you want to jump into it? We're using this episode as a sort of catch up to everything that I guess we've read or like absorbed in the last couple of months since our last episode, which I think was possibly back in May. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was.
Yeah, this is just our summer vacation, guys.
Yeah, that's fine.
So do you want to start with like media first or do you want to jump into books and audiobooks?
When you say media, okay, so you mean...
I guess all of it's media.
I forgot how the podcast works. When you say media, you mean shows, podcasts, music.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a lot of those.
Oh, yeah. I have a few.
Why don't we go like you, me, and I'm going to start with the shows I've been absorbing.
Okay.
I'm gonna try very hard to remember what they're about. So bear with me because my memory is lacking. Okay, okay. So one of the first shows I watched when I moved into my apartment was Pin 15,
and it did not.
I think if you're a fan of like weird humor, like Broad City kind of humor, you would really enjoy Pin 15. It's cute. There's only two adults besides like the teachers and the parents and everyone else is a kid and they're playing. They're like 30, 40 year old women playing like 13 year olds. And it is hilarious. And I super recommend it. It's just so funny. And actually, one of the guys in that show, Dallas Liu, was casted to be Zuko in the live-action Avatar.
Oh.
Yeah, which I think he'll do really well. A lot of people had misgivings, but like, so, I think not necessarily with him playing Zuko. I think just the way they're going about it, like his age is going to be different and people aren't liking that he's older, I guess. I don't know. There's more. But, you know, people are always going to complain.
Do you know who played, quick trivia, do you know who played Zuko in the really bad live-action Avatar, The Last Airbender?
No, I never actually watched it.
It was Dev Patel.
Shut up.
The sweetest baby. Yes, it was Dev Patel with an American accent of all things.
Did he look like the little teenager he looked like in Skins?
God. But with a scar. It was actually very precious. The only reason I watched that movie more than once.
It's because Dev Patel was in it.
Absolutely. You know
this. I once read on Twitter, like, a long time ago that my sexuality, I identify as Dev Patel.
Yeah.
Good God, that man is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I think he's my biggest celebrity crush. I know he's my biggest celebrity crush.
My biggest celebrity crush is probably Alex Saxon, which I'll talk about when I talk about one of these shows.
Okay.
So, moving on from Pin 15, The Last Man. So, I actually just watched this yesterday. There's only like 4 episodes available on Hulu for it, but I was really weary about watching it because, or wary, not weary, wary. Because I was a big fan of the comic books. I think it's the only like set of comic books that I own. Like I have every single one in like 3 like omnibuses. Is that the right word? That sounds so wrong.
Omnibus?
Omnibus. Omnibusai. Like omnibus. Or is it just omnibus? Is that both singular and plural? Omnibus.
I have no idea. You just broke my brain.
But omnibuses does not sound good.
No, it doesn't sound great. I don't like it. Doesn't roll off the tongue.
But yeah, I have those. I read them when I was in high school, and it was recommended to me by one of my friends at the time, and it did not disappoint. It was so good, and it is literally about all the men dying and all these women. You experience all these different factions of women and their styles and what they're about. And it's really cool. It's really interesting. And you're just following the journey of Yurik, who is the last man alive. It's him and this monkey that I think is also male. Yeah, I think he's also male. And it's just so good. Like, right now, it's in the beginning phases. It obviously moves a little faster in the comic books. But it's in the beginning phases of, like, the politics of everything. Like, how do they go on being a country now that all the men just drop dead one day? And it's all over the world, you know? So it's really interesting. I definitely recommend it. Demon Slayer, it's on Netflix. I think most people know what Demon Slayer is. It's an anime, and it's one of the first that I've particularly absorbed and loved. I really like Nezuko. She's so cute. I said that to a friend, and he was like, oh, yeah, one of the girl characters who's, like, muzzled throughout the entire thing, and I felt bad for, like, Demon Slayer, but so I think it's a good anime. I started Reprisal on Hulu, and it has Minamusad. I think that's how you say his name. I hope that's how you say his name. And he plays Aladdin in the live action. Mm-hmm. He is adorable.
But you said that was on Netflix?
No, that's on Hulu. Reprisal, okay. Or Demon Slayer.
Reprisal.
Yeah, that one's on Hulu. And it's really interesting. Like, I can't really tell you much about the plot because I've only seen a couple episodes. But the one thing that I think is really nice about it is the aesthetic. It's kind of got this, like, it's like the neon classic aesthetic. That's, like, the best way. Like, it's sort of like that aesthetic, but also everything that's happening sort of has a Gotham, like a Batman Gotham feel. It's okay. Really weird. Like,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's really cool to me because I've never seen that. I guess I've just never seen all of those aesthetics in one show. It's just really pleasing to watch.
Okay. I'll check that one out for sure.
I need to watch more of it. But I definitely recommend it. It's interesting. And it's kind of like this woman. It's like these two rivalry gangs that are sort of going at it. And then there's just this woman who's causing all the havoc. But it's like no one has figured out that she's doing anything. And you just love her because she's super, like, even-tempered. She's, like, slowly building her power and, like, her own crew. She's sort of like taking their business and their people from underneath them, and they have no idea that it's happening. It's just really good.
Oh, I like that. Powerful woman.
I went to go to my mom's this past weekend to get my hair done. Mm-hmm. And she kept going on about this show on Epix Now. I bought the subscription to the app so she could watch it because she really wanted to watch it. It's this show called Chapel Wait, and it's sort of like an old supernatural. It's a new show, but like the aesthetic is old, and it's old horror. It sort of has, like when I'm talking aesthetic, think of The Witch or something like that.
Ooh.
And it's really, really good. Okay. We watched 4 episodes of it, maybe, just last weekend. And it's like about this man whose wife dies of this mysterious illness, and he's left with his 3 kids. I think months after her death, he inherits a house from his distant cousin. So he moves to this little town. I think it's in Chapelwaite. It might be called something, Preacher's Corner. I think it's called Preacher's Corner. Mm-hmm. And all these people in this town just hate him because of his family's name. And his family has apparently been tied to like this weird illness that's just killed people through time. It's like their family's plagued, or people think their family's plagued. And I'm sure, like I said, I've only seen 4 episodes, so I'm sure a lot of like why they think this family's plagued will come out soon. But this is kind of where I am. And like, he's back in town with his 3 daughters, and this illness is like back all of a sudden.
Ooh.
Yeah, and this is just one of those shows that you really have to pay attention to what's happening to gauge the story. So I'm going to finish that, actually. It was really, really good. And then he, like, hires this nanny to help him with his daughters, and she's secretly doing a story on him and his family. She's basically using what the town knows about their family history and then what she's now learning about him and his family to create a story. For, I guess she's like one of the first women in her town to like go to college and stuff. And she I think she writes for a journal or something like that. So she's doing a story on them. And I think she's starting to like fall in love with all of them. So it's like, that's going to be
fun element.
Pushed out later, but it's really, really good and creepy. So Chapelwaite on Epix now.
Okay. It's funny, just in the description you gave me, it reminded me of an H.P. Lovecraft story, which I believe is called Rats in the Walls, where a guy basically inherits a plot of land and he has never been there before, and he goes and sees it. And in that story, it turns out that like his family had a long history of they like basically built this underground city underneath the plot of the land where they were keeping humans as cattle to eat and stuff. But, and then there was another story. Oh no, it just made me think of Shirley Jackson as well. Just like, you know, we have always lived in the castle, like a whole small town hating like a wealthy family that in their whole estate and stuff. And Shirley Jackson was kind of in general, she was agoraphobic and she lived in a small town in New England and she just assumed that everybody hated her. So a lot of her stories had that element of like the village that hates you kind of thing. So I think that show sounds fascinating.
It is very good.
I want to check it out.
Fully recommend. Yeah. I've been watching, I just finished this yesterday, the second season of Nancy Drew, and it left me like empty feeling, you know, like when you finish a good book and you don't know what to do with yourself. And I was like, this is why I had decided to watch The Last Man, because I was like, I need to watch something that's going to be worthwhile because this was too good. But Nancy Drew, I think I've talked about this on possibly the last episode that we did. I'm in love with this show. First of all, I think most of us have grown up with Nancy Drew in some way, or we know of Nancy Drew. This takes an adult take on Nancy Drew, and it doesn't necessarily start off with the supernatural, or at least she's not aware of the supernatural. And then in the second season, all of that is escalated, so it's like nothing but supernatural. And it's her and this group of friends, like unlikely friends. There's like Nancy, who almost comes off emotionally distant. Which makes sense for a lot of things that she finds out about herself in the first season and even in the second season. There is Ace, who we freaking love. He's like the tech genius and he's super hot, and he's played by Alex Saxon, who I'm in love with. I think most people experiences with Alex Saxon is probably in the first season of The Fosters. If you've ever watched The Fosters, he was Callie's boyfriend in the first season. and he had long, gorgeous locks. Just gorgeous. I love him. He's a sweetheart. And then there was Nick, who was Nancy's boyfriend, and then he had some ties to, you know, if I talk about that, that's going to be a big spoiler, so, you know, I never mind. There's one girl, I cannot think of what her name is right now, but she was, like, living out of a van. She was just super mysterious, and all of her story, like, unravels in the second season. And then there is George. She comes from a family of people who have dealt with, like, supernatural stuff. Like, they're a little witchy. So she's, like, okay, a really big help in a lot of their weird situations. And then she's also got this situation where she basically died. And they use this thing to, I can't think, like a tarp or something to bring her back. And her soul ended up being tethered to, like, in this, like, old French woman. Not old, she's a young French woman, but she died in, like, way back in the day. Really young. She died at like 21. So she is like now basically sharing her body with this 21-year-old French woman.
Oh, who God.
Is absolutely hilarious, by the way. But I don't know. The show just resonates with me. I just love it. I watch it. Support Nancy Drew. It's on the CW. I think you can watch the first and second season on Hulu. Hulu. And I recommend it. It's one of my top recommended. Like, I literally, right. No, HBO Max, sorry. But I literally just felt so empty after I finished it. I was like, should I just go back and watch it from the beginning? Like, I don't know.
I do that all the time. There are lots of shows. As soon as it's finished, I'm like, well, starting that over.
Literally, that's what I felt like doing. But I might do that, actually.
I like seeing all the things that I missed, too.
What'd you say?
I like seeing all the things that I missed, all the foreshadowing and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. That's why I like watching movies like 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then this isn't a show, but the other thing I've been absorbing is just YouTube. I like watching, which I think I mention this quite often, Let's Plays. I'm a huge fan of Let's Plays. And I've been watching so much John Wolfe lately. I like him. He's like sassy and funny and corny at the same time. And he plays a lot of the games that I like. So, and a lot of like indie horror games, which are awesome. So check him out on YouTube. He is awesome. And that's all I have for the TV shows 20 minutes later. Go ahead, Morgan, it's all on you.
All right. Well, right now, Brody and I are in the thralls of the IT Crowd on Netflix. It's such a good show. I've definitely had it on in the background before. Like, I'm familiar with it, but it's always just been a background show for me for some reason. I don't know why I've not sat down and really paid attention to it. But I had it on while I was cross-stitching the other day, and Brody came in, and he was, like, glued to the couch. He loved it. He was dying laughing. And I was like, well, if you like this so much, we can, like, start from the beginning and watch the whole thing together. Which is exactly what we did. And we're, like, in season 3 now. I think we just finished season 3. So we only have 2 left. And I'm really, like, I'm already heartbroken that we're going to stop having new episodes to watch. And we still have 2 seasons left. But, yeah, it's really, I love that show so much.
It's a great show.
I watched Unorthodox a couple weeks ago. That's going to probably be, like, I'm sure you have a show. I think you just talked about it, actually. Which one was it? I think it was Pen 15, where it's you're probably always going to think about moving into your new place when you, like, rewatch it or think about it. And that's how I'm going to be with Unorthodox. It was like, you know, we moved into this new house, and I was always unpacking, and I was always moving things, and I was always cleaning and doing all this stuff. And it was like a good 3 weeks before I was able to just, like, sit down and have a night where I just, like, chilled. And so one of the first, like, Friday nights that I had that I could just chill, I got Indian food delivered, and I just hit play something on Netflix, which is their new feature that I actually quite enjoy. And it started playing Unorthodox, and I'd, like, seen the thumbnails for it. It was, like, the girl getting her head shaved. And I don't know why. I always thought it was, like, dystopian or something. I don't know why I thought that. But it's actually about a young Hasidic woman who was living in Williamsburg. It's based off of a true story, but obviously it's been elaborated on a little bit and kind of made, you know, dramatized for the TV. But yeah, so her name's Esther. They call her Esty. And she gets married off at like 17 years old. And she, you know, just doesn't have all of the freedoms that a non-Hasidic woman would have. And it's hard for her. And specifically, like, the expectation of sex and having children was hard for her. And it was not an enjoyable experience for her. And she was having a rough time with her marriage. So she decides to run away to Berlin. And so it's kind of her story about gaining up the courage to run away and then doing it. And then, like, the people that she meets. And it turns out she loves music and she'd been secretly taking piano lessons. And in their particular sect, at least, women were not allowed to play the piano or sing or perform because it's considered immodest. And so she decides she's going to apply for a music school, even though, like, she doesn't have any formal training. In fact, she doesn't even have any, like, all the education that most people have. So it's, like, difficult for her. But the character herself is so easy to fall in love with. Like, she's just such a sweet human. And I just, like, I don't know. She's always, like, filled with wonder at the world around her. And she's just, like, I just love the character so much. And it's a really well done show, I think. I enjoyed watching it quite a bit.
That's one that I actually put on my Netflix list to watch, not to, because mm-hmm. you started describing it and I was like, wait mm-hmm. a minute, I have read that. Like, I know I have read that. Yeah, that's one that I've been meaning to watch. It's on my list to watch. So I'll definitely move
it's that a mini series, I think. So there are like 4 or 5 episodes. Oh. And they're like an hour long, I think. I'm not positive about that. I didn't think it lasted long enough for me personally. I could have had like 5 seasons of that, not really, but you know. I thought to myself, like, every time the main character Esty is moved to cry because of music, it makes me cry. Cause there are a few parts where, like, she, like, wanders into this, like, big, beautiful church in Berlin and she hears the choir practicing and she's never heard anything like that. It's all like these beautiful angelic women's voices. And she sits there and just, like, starts crying. And I was like,
so me beautiful. The first time I heard the world yeah.
fire. For real. But yeah, so it was so good. And so it's very music centric too. She gets to, like, she goes to a club at one point, which is something she'd never done before. And a friend of hers plays violin with this, like, cool little, like, dubstep setup. And it is just, the whole thing is so cool. It's really neat. I watched Big Little Lies, the first season. I haven't even started the second season yet because I got the first season off of my chest and then I was like, okay, I got what I came here to do accomplish. Like, no, I do want to watch the second season, but the first season is what I really wanted to watch. And I had seen the first few episodes. I went over to a friend's house and watched them, and I had always been meaning to watch the rest of it, but I just hadn't gotten around to it. And so that's another one. I, like, binged the whole thing during Labor Day weekend, and it's a very well made show. And yeah, I did guess, like, the outcome, I think, at the end of the second or maybe third episode, but that didn't make it any less exciting because it's still, like, getting there. That's really cool. You know what I mean? But I kind of guessed who did what for the most part, at least the important parts. I'm always so proud of myself. I'm always like, I'll tell Brody. I was like, Brody, this person did this and this person did this. And he's like, I don't know who these characters are. This doesn't mean anything to me. And I'm like, cool, just you wait. And then, like, after I watched the last episode, I was like, Brody, I was right about this and this and this and this and this. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. Like, not really caring. But I just like to do that. I can't help it. What else have I been watching? I've been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of in the background, like, while I'm playing Sims and working, and that's just so freaking ridiculous. It's just stupid humor. Like, it makes me kind of hate Larry David, but also think he's hilarious at the same time, which I'm sure is kind of the expectation with that show, but yeah. And then the other day I discovered on YouTube The Adventure Zone animatics. So a bunch of artists, like, animate scenes from The Adventure Zone. And so it's like you can find a playlist where it does them all in story order, and it's almost like watching this insane, awesome, like animated version of the Adventure Zone. I said that real weird, Adventure Zone. But I mean, there are parts like the part with Magic Brian in the first arc, you know, the like with his little German accent. Everybody loved that scene, so there are like tons of videos of those scenes with him. So you end up watching the same scene a lot, but it's cool because it's all these different artists doing their own interpretations of what the characters look like and how the scenes went down. And it's just really fun to watch. There's like, I think like there are 1400 videos in the playlist, but I skip them. If I've seen a scene too many times, like the scene with Magic Brian, I watched like two of them and I was like, okay, skip, 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 skip. But there's still a lot of videos, but they're all like 10 seconds long, anywhere from like 10 seconds to a couple minutes. So they're not like, I just like put them on, I put it on autoplay and it just like plays them back to back to back, like a little like movie. So that's been a lot of fun to watch. And that's pretty much it for me.
Okay. So you want to move into podcast?
Sure. I have one.
I have three, but there are three that everyone's heard already because I haven't really... A lot of the podcasts that I'm into, I have this need to finish them. Mm-hmm. And most of them have like hundreds of episodes. So I don't adventure on new podcasts because then I'll be overwhelmed and feel like I need to catch up on all of them. So I've been listening to The Adventure Zone, of course. Last podcast on the left, and The Paranormal Life, which you guys have heard me say a million times. That brings me to Morgan and I and our friend Dana went to go see the last podcast on the left live, which was really, really fun. Ben Kissel is just as greasy as you say.
So large. Oh, my gosh. The person that I was sitting next to turned to me and was like, I love how you can tell which microphone is Ben's and which microphone is Henry's. And I looked up and the microphone, you could tell because one microphone was like adjusted like 6 feet tall and the other one was adjusted like 4.5 feet tall. Not really, but, and then the one with the laptop next to it was obviously Marcus's. So I was like, oh shoot, you're right.
I was going to say that Marcus is my favorite, but, like, they're all my favorite. I don't have a favorite.
Right. They're all my favorite, too. Yeah. When people, because I've seen, like, online, people say, like, fuck, marry, kill the last podcast boys. I'm like, I can't do that because I can't kill any of them. And I feel that way about the McElroy brothers, too. I'm like, I can't kill any of them. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't either.
Yeah, right, Randall.
Oh, my cat's sitting on the desk now. That's what I said. Aww. I'm asking him to confirm.
That was all I had for podcasts, BTW. That's all I've been listening to.
Well, I'm always listening to my brother and me when I jog. Last podcast on the left when I do anything else, including scooping the litter boxes, most of my chore things, I listen to last podcast on the left, like doing dishes and stuff. And then when I'm working, I listen to the Adventure Zone. So, yeah, pretty much the same as you. But then the only other podcast that I've been listening to much lately is called Song Exploder. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's really cool. Every episode, the host basically does like a – well, actually, the host has a musician on who does like a deep dive of one of their songs. And they just like – they explain like – oh, I put the bass in like this because it's really bouncy and I felt like it, I don't know, went with my lyrics really well. And they just break down bit by bit the components to their song and why they wrote it like that or how they wrote it. And I really love listening to it. One of the first episodes, they do Such Great Heights. Oh, I think it's Such Great Heights by the Postal Service, which is really cool. Yeah, and what else?
Think of high school. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Middle school.
Yeah. Those are the days. they did one called Miasma Sky by the band Baths, which I really – it's more like a music act. I think it's only one person. But, yeah, that one was really cool. What happens with Song Exploder is I'll listen to a song that I already know. And once I listen to him break it down, I'm like, oh. And then I listen to that song a million times. I'm like, this song's way better now that I know all this about it. So, yeah, it's a really good show. And I think they just created a Netflix series based on the podcast. Oh, and great. So I think it's like they have 4 or 5 episodes out so far. But, yeah, so they do, you know, it's like a video version basically. So, yeah, that's the only other podcast I've been listening to much. It gets me into a lot of new music.
Yes. What'd you say?
Oh, no, I was just saying it gets me into a lot of new music.
Oh, I love things cool. that do that. I was going to say I wanted to shout out our friends at Kinda Well Done.
Zach and Evan.
Those are our friends, and they're great. And they shouted me out in one of their episodes, and that made me feel all warm and loved inside. and just so you guys know, I absolutely do not listen to you just because we're friends. I actually enjoy it. Yeah, it was, the whole thing was sweet. So I'm going to shout them out. I have probably seen most of their episodes. They're really funny. I told them they should have a podcast insert or something because their commentary is hilarious. And they play a lot of like Nintendo games. So it's really nostalgia. Mm-hmm. They recently were playing Sonic, which was just hilarious because they were like both annoyed. It was just funny. Yeah, they play some Super Mario stuff. They've done Donkey Kong, which I really, really enjoyed because that's one of my favorite childhood games. They've done a lot, so just go ahead and check them out on YouTube. Kinda Well Done. Hopefully we'll have them as a guest on our podcast.
Yay! Yeah, we want to have them on the show.
Super bad.
Music.
I got a long list. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
To a lot of punk bands lately, and I've been trying to find some black fronted punk bands because mm-hmm. I follow this page on Facebook that's a really great resource for that, just because it's nice to like see people like black people in alt aesthetic or punk aesthetic. Like, it's really nice because right. that's the aesthetic I wish I had. Working on it. So it's really fun to see. And one of the bands I found was called The Flies, or no, sorry, the song is called The Flies, which is really good. And the band is called We Don't Ride Llamas.
I like that.
What's the other one? Gully Boys, which it's not black fronted, but there is a black girl in it. And also, they're just really good, so check them out. The song specifically that I like is Russian Doll. That's the one that we were listening to it in the car the other day, and you were like, who is this?
I love it.
That was Gully Boys. I've been listening to Call Out My Name by The Weeknd like quite a bit. I just really like that song specifically. I like The Weeknd's music. I don't really know how I feel about him as a person, but I like his music a lot. The Butcheress with Brutus, which is like
weird
poem, but like Law Dispute style.
Like, it's just freaking love that song. I listen to it a lot.
It's so good. It just gets you going. Like, I listen to it when I walk Bella sometimes, and I just go back and go back and go back and re-listen to
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, me too.
It's just, I don't know, it's just one of those songs that you feel really deeply in your body.
I specifically like the part when she says, I don't want what you have, I want to be you. Yes. And I'm just like, yeah. Every time I'm like, fuck yeah.
Like, she sort of starts getting like, because it really does start off as just like spoken word. The way she starts getting screamy and screamier and screamier throughout the song is so mm-hmm. like I said, I can just feel it in my body. Mwah. I really like the song.
It's chef's kiss.
Then there is DYLT girl ? By Real Romeo, who is the hottest woman I've ever seen in my life. But you should check her out. She listens. I mean, I think I've already sent this song to you, but mm-hmm. she does a lot. She's like I know there's a specific way to say this, but she does like lesbian music, if that makes sense. Like, a lot of her music has to do with the fact that she's a lesbian. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yes. And she's just really, really talented. She has another one called Butch for Butch that I really like too.
Yeah.
Lizzo Rumors. If you haven't heard it, listen to it because it's fabulous. I've also been listening to a lot of Cause I Love You by her. Like, I think it's been on every playlist I've had this year. Her vocals are just top notch. Shit by Bo Burnham. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. Have you watched Inside?
No, it's on my list for sure.
It's worth it. It's really good. I would definitely get on it. It's really, really good. You're going to want to download the album as soon as you hear it.
I know one song on it. In fact, it's on my list.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
There's the Record Player song by Daisy the Great. I'm really happy I found them. They're so good.
I'm glad you did, too, and I'm glad you told me about it.
There's Cigarette Ahegao by Penelope Scott, which I really like. It has this, like, cool, almost video game sound to it, but the words, like, when you listen to it, is very indie, and it's, like, a cool mashup. So definitely check it out.
What was that one again? Sorry.
Cigarette Ahegao. That's spelled A-H-E-G-A-O. There's Girlwood, Hard to Touch You. I love Girlwood. I've been obsessed with them, I think, for most of this year. They will be on my Spotify top 5 listened bands. There's Chloe Bailey's Have Mercy, which was TikTok popular, and I think her performance at the, was it the VMAs, I think, or MTV Awards? I don't know. I don't really follow those, but I watched her performance on YouTube because I love her. There's Marina, formerly known as Marina and the Diamonds, and the song Man's World. And then my one K-pop song, which I have said for every single episode, I'm going to do one K-pop song. It's called Holo by Lehigh. And it is a great example of her vocal range. It's so, so good. It's a slower song. It's really beautiful. It's a ballad. And you're going to want to listen to it like 4 times. Like, it's just it's one of my favorites. It was one that a friend sent to me, and it's been on most of my playlists this year. I really like it. So that's what I have for songs. Sorry if I took up too much time.
That's okay. No, that's fine. I certainly have plenty too. And I added a few to even it out. So that's okay, because I love talking about my music.
Oh, that's
fun. So I'm like really weird about how I add music and listen to music. A long time ago, Spotify put a limit on how much music you could have on your library, and I don't think they have it anymore. I think they got rid of it. But like, I've been collecting music on Spotify. I've been paying for music on Spotify since like 2011, and I love finding new music and adding to it. So I hit my limit in like 2018, I think it was, and I was pissed. So I switched over to YouTube Music, but I still had my like playlist of my absolute favorites on Spotify. So now I'm in this weird place where I pay for both of those services. Don't judge me. So what I do is when I listen to a song and I'm like, huh, this is kind of cool, I add it to my library on YouTube Music. So my library on YouTube Music is like obscene. It's so large, but it's a bunch of music that I'm just kind of like, huh, cool. And then I add it. And so on Spotify, I have like a bunch of playlists that are specific. And then I also have my, like, I call it the good, good. And that's like my music that I'm obsessed with. And so what I'll do is I'll like hit a rut with my good, good music. And then I'll listen to my YouTube Music and be like, oh yeah, this fucking song. And then I'll add it to my good, good. Anyways, I'm like probably a serial killer. So one of those songs, a lot of these songs are, I ended up, stop, Randall, my cat is being mean. Okay. Sorry. So, that's how I like, basically I refound a bunch of music recently by going through my YouTube Music. So one of those is called Cherry Tree by Xenia Rubinos. And I just like re-listened to that yesterday and was freaking jamming out. It's a really catchy song. The vocals are great. The guitar is great. The whole thing is just really good to listen to. Another one of those is a song called To Build a Home by Cinematic Orchestra featuring Patrick Watson. And that one has like the most dramatic piano accompaniment. And it's very like, it's called To Build a Home. And that's like what the song kind of encompasses. He describes like those special little intimate moments in a home, you know, like, I can't think of any of the words right now, but it makes me feel shit every time I listen to it. And his vocals are really good too. The song River by Leon Bridges, that was a song featured in Big Little Lies, and the way they use it is like, it made me feel that song. I mean, it's a beautiful song anyways. Leon Bridges has a gorgeous voice, but the way it's used, you know how sometimes the way a song is used in like a movie or a show, you're like, oh fuck. And like, so yeah,
the way that you listen to it.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. It adds like an extra element of drama to the song itself.
Yeah.
Are You Sleepwalking by Torres, I think it is. Torres, all caps. I came across that on, I think I was listening to All Songs Considered or something, or maybe I was just listening to like Wizo or something. But anyways, it's really freaking good. That song's almost like a fever dream. It's really grungy guitars. I like it a lot. And the vocals are good. She has a good voice. Come Home by Willow featuring Ayla Tesler Mabe. My handwriting's awful. It's on Willow's new album. And Willow's new album is very like pop punk. Her vocals are really good. The guitar on this song is really good. And she has a guest vocalist. And they're really good harmonies. And I jammed to this song. Rita Mae Young.
Okay, what? Sorry. Yes.
No, go for it.
There is a video circling on TikTok about her that everyone is like obsessed with the live performance of it, just because the way she sings is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's the Meet Me at Our Spot song that she did with with her side band. Was it called The Anxiety or something like that? And it just showcases her full vocal range. And people, there's like this one part where she sings the word life, and it's just everyone is obsessed with it because it was just so satisfying.
Good. She deserves people to be obsessed with her. I don't know why. I still feel like when I say like Willow Smith is such a good artist or a musician, there are still people that are like the whip my hair back and forth girl. Yes. And I'm like, first of all, she was a child when she did that. That was a good ass song for a child. Second of all, she writes amazing music and she churns it out too. She's a ton. She has more albums than a lot of grown man bands that I've seen. You know what I mean? Like she writes excellent music and her vocals are like great. So I love Willow. I'm always team Willow.
I think I don't think that I would have ever listened to Willow if you hadn't told me to.
Really?
When we first started working at You Know Where. Yay. You introduced me to that first album and I listened to Romance 50 billion times.
Marceline's on that album, right?
Yes.
That was the song that got me.
Maybe on the next one. I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know. She's great though.
Yeah.
Proud of her. Rita Mae Young by the record company is really catchy. I blast that one in my car a lot this summer. I have no idea what year it came out because it could definitely be like an old song. It just kind of has that cool classic rock sound to it, but I don't think it is. I think it's from recent. Welcome to the Internet by Bo Burnham. I like, nice. I don't even know. I think I was listening to Show Tunes Radio on Pandora. I don't know why that song falls under Show Tunes Radio. Mostly it's just Avenue Q. Maybe I was listening to Avenue Q Radio. Either way, that song came on and I was like, oh fuck, I love this. I listen to it all the time. And I've been meaning to watch Inside. I just somehow haven't still. Ukulele Anthem by Amanda Palmer is a really good song about playing ukulele, and it is played on the ukulele, and I'm currently learning it and having a great time because it's very wordy and I like singing like really wordy songs. And then my last one is Pedestrian at Best by Courtney Barnett. That's another one of those songs that like I've had saved for a long time, and I recently re-listened to it and I was like, oh fuck yeah, Courtney Barnett is awesome. So yep, that's my music.
Awesome. Well, let's get into what this podcast is about 50 minutes into it.
What's this podcast about?
Books. So, should I just go first, or?
Yeah, go for it. Okay. Stick to our pattern.
Okay. I don't know why I suddenly just got nervous. I don't really know why.
We've been talking this whole time.
I know. What was wrong with me? One of the books that I just finished is called The Black Witch, which I think I've been telling you about. I read it on my Kindle. I thought was phenomenal, and I'm going to tell you why. So this book is by Laurie Foster, and it has, like, controversy around it just because It's sort of mirroring just normal society in the way that this girl, Ellerin, she's what's called Gardnerian, which, if Gardnerian were translated in our time, would be a white person, just like a pure white person. And then there are all these different kinds of races and creatures. There are like Celts and lupine and so on and so forth. And she's kind of just grown up in this little portion of the world where Gardnerians are perfect angels, and every other kind of race of person or creature has wronged the Gardnerian. So they're like the on top race. Like they're the most wealthy. They're the good ones, everyone else is bad. That's sort of what she's always been told her whole life. So if I were to put this in a way that makes sense, I'd say that it is about a girl who is overcoming her own biases and prejudices based on learned information, which is what everyone should do. So she's experiencing the world now, just realizing that a lot of what the history that she's learned is false. And she's like seeking the truth because nothing she's been taught her whole life has been accurate. And she's supposed to be, the way that it works for them is once they turn 13 years old, they're supposed to be what they called wand fasted, which means they are betrothed to a man at the age of 13, and tested. They're like tested for magic and everything, and then they work their way through what's called the Mage's Court or the Mage's Guild or something like that. And she's sort of already like, eh, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to be married at 13. She's 18 now, and that's really old for her not to be wand fasted. Her uncle, who sort of protected her from all of this, is instead of having her wand fasted, he wants her to go to college. So she's in college right now, and this is how she's learning that a lot of the things she knows is wrong. She's
Hey,
like,
that's where I learned that a lot of the things I know was wrong.
She's like falling in love with what's called a Celt, which she's always been told are bad. She's like learning a lot about herself and unlearning a lot about what she has always been taught about these other races. And it's just like, it's really good, which is why I don't understand why it's controversial, because it is literally someone unlearning everything they've been taught. And that is like what we should all seek. I don't understand why it's controversial. I really don't. But anyway, I loved it and I would recommend reading it. I think there are about three or four other books, so I'm gonna try to read the other ones because they're all available on my on Kindle Unlimited. So I'm just gonna read it on my little Kindle. But and it's also just a good fantasy book because it's like not a kid. She's 18 and she's just gonna get older. So we do get a little bit of maturity in it. And I really like fantasy novels, but sometimes it's hard to find one that's not a fucking teenager. And when I say teenager, I mean, yeah, it's just like a good adult-ish young adult fantasy. The next book I want to talk about is Anxious People by Frederick Backman. Okay, first of all, I would read anything this man wrote. After reading Anxious People, I would read his diary. I would read his notes on his math homework. Like, the way this book is written is so natural and comedic. It's like really quirky, and you just love every character. It's just so funny, but also, no, it's just funny. So, I'm just gonna give a brief overview of what happens in this book because I really want people to read it, so I'm not gonna spoil anything. But it jumps between multiple people. So there are like two cops who are father and son. There's Jim and Jack. And then there is the bank robber. There is, whose name we never get. There is Annalena and Roger, their husband and wife. There's Julia and Ro. I should probably tell you more about these characters. So Annalena and Roger are husband and wife, and they're like retired and they flip apartments. So they like rebuild them and sell them. Julia and Ro are a lesbian couple who's pregnant, like super pregnant, about to have their kid maybe in a month. And are sort of going through the anxiety of having a kid. Annalena and Roger are going through the anxiety of the fact that the only thing holding their marriage together is the flipping apartments. Zara, who's like this older, rich, sophisticated lady who's like a huge economist. I'm not going to go too much in detail about her story because I think she's the most interesting. Yeah, I think people should just read about her. Like, she's, if I tell too much about her specifically, that will spoil a nice chunk of the book. But she's my favorite character. I think she has the most character development. And she also finds love in this man who was a part of this. He wasn't the bank robber, but he was basically this person robs a bank and then realizes it's a cashless bank. So they try to get away and end up holding up an apartment that's having an open house. And all of these people are in that open house.
Oh, God.
And they all just like connect, and even with the bank robber. And you just learn all these, that's all their funny stories. And it's like, it's just so good. But there's just the guy in the bunny suit. That's I can't get into that either because that'll spoil something that Zara like ends up falling in love with, and it's just so cute. Like, oh my God, this whole book is great. Just please read it. Like I said, I would read the scribbles on Frederick Backman's fucking napkin at dinner. Okay. I definitely want to read more by him. And if you ever read this book, I would totally do a full episode on it. Like, it is that good.
I'm interested, definitely. I've picked it up at Second and Charles multiple times.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, still $13. I'll wait till it goes down till $9.
That's funny. That means you sell a used copy. Because every time I see them, they're hardback and they're like $31.
Ooh, bro. Like,
So my sister let me borrow her copy that she got from Book of the Month, which I should probably see if it's on Book of the Month. Because if you have it, you pay the $15.99 for the credit, and these are like hardback books that you get for $15.99. That's literally half the price. This is not sponsored. I am just saying, I promise. And then you can add books that they have in their library for $9.99. So you can get
bad.
You can use your credit for a book and then look in their like archive books, like what they have in their library, and get that for $9.99. Add it to your box.
Okay, it's really cool. That's good to know.
I read, or listened to, I should say, If Beale Street Could Talk, which is just, it's heart-wrenching. It's, I don't want to say gritty, that doesn't feel like the right word, but it's basically about this couple, Tish and Fonny. Fonny ends up in prison for a crime that he did not commit, and the proof is there that he did not commit this crime. And it's, you know, this young black couple in Harlem in the 70s. There's a lot of racial injustice, and a lot of that is brought to the surface in the book. And you just kind of are flipping through time. Like, you're going back to when Fonny and Tish first met, and then where they are now and how they're trying to get him out of prison. It's a really, I mean, it's an older book. Most people have probably read it, by James Baldwin. And I just recommend it. It's also on Hulu. You can watch the movie if you want to skip the book. There's one particular scene in the movie that is more expressive than it is when you actually read it in the book. And it's like the part where these two black men are talking about their experiences with racial injustice and this, how the system treated them. And it's just like a very emotional moment and a very real moment. And I don't know, I just really, I loved it, but it's one of those movies that isn't hard to watch, but
it's not necessarily an uplifting movie.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
It's beautiful.
But it is beautiful. Yeah, that's exactly it.
It was gorgeously made.
It's a great movie. It's a great book. So, I mean, you can read it or watch it. It doesn't matter. I think the movie does pretty good justice to the book as well. But yeah, If Beale Street Could Talk by James Baldwin. And then the one that I just finished yesterday that I immediately downloaded the second book because, oh my God, A Killer's Mind by Mike Omer, that my sister recommended to me like I think a year or two ago, and I had it downloaded on my Kindle Unlimited maybe, but I listened to it on Audible and holy crap. So it's about this girl who's a profiler. She's like a really good profiler who is really, really hard-headed. And she's sort of going back and forth through time from her childhood when she suspected her neighbor of being a serial killer, which, yes, he is. And she was at first thinking that he, I think I told you earlier that we thought he was the one, like he was the one doing it. He wasn't, but he was him like sending her stuff in the mail randomly, which apparently she says happens like every couple of years. It's like a reminder that he's still around and got away with murder. It's crazy. It's actually an introduction into the second book where we're going to follow him more. That's what I'm believing is happening here because we're talking more about him. But it's just, if you like crime fiction books, is that what it's called? True crime? Or is it just crime fiction? I don't know.
Well, true crime is stuff that actually happened, yeah, I think. Yeah, it is. Crime fiction sounds right?
I think it's crime fiction.
Because I don't want to say like mystery because those are always like procedurals. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it kind of is though. So probably mystery. It could be mystery. I don't know. I just want to say crime fiction. We're making up a genre if we are. But yeah, it's if you like crime fiction books, this is if you've ever read Stephanie Plum by Janity Vanovich, it's not called Stephanie Plum, but she's the main character in all these books. There's like one for the money, two for the dough, three to get deadly, so on and so forth, which I've read those books since I was really young. I think I was in like fourth or fifth grade when I started them. If you like Stephanie Plum books, you'll like A Killer's Mind. But yeah, that's my books. And then the last one I was going to say was Queenie, but I figured we could talk about that one together.
Yeah.
Well, you figured we could talk about that one together, I should say. Sorry. Not to steal your fire.
No, you're good. No, seriously. Okay. Let's see. What have I been reading? I am currently reading Johnny Panic and the Bible of Dreams by Sylvia Plath. It is a posthumous collection of essays, journal entries, and short stories. Yeah, there aren't any poems in that. I just double checked. But yeah, it starts off with her journal entries in which she like details visits with her neighbors. This is when she like moved to England with her husband, Ted Hughes. I think he was writing as a profession. And I think she was just at the time trying to write, but also be mother to their two children. And she's like in this new culture, the English culture is very different, especially in the 1940s than American culture was. And she's detailing like visits with her neighbors and stuff. And it's interesting how much emphasis she puts on like trying to remember what they were wearing, how their houses were decorated. Like it's almost like this compulsive need to remember like what pattern their wallpapers were and stuff. It's a fascinating look into her mind. And then it has these unpublished short stories. And you know me, I love short stories. And so it's really good so far. I think I'm like about 2/3 to 3/4 of the way through and I'm enjoying it. It's really cool to be able to see these stories that it says in the introduction. Now the introduction's from Ted Hughes and I have my own feelings about Ted Hughes, but
wow.
Just saying, if it weren't for him, maybe Sylvia wouldn't have.
We know.
Anyways, this is a lot of speculation that I'm feeling. But anyways, it's an introduction from Ted Hughes, so I have my own feelings about that. And I have thought, how would Sylvia even feel if she found out that these stories had been published? Because the reason she hadn't published them was because she didn't feel satisfied with them, you know? And so this is a collection of stories that didn't make it for her. She didn't publish them or submit them. And it kind of makes you think like, I wonder why she didn't think these were good enough and how would she feel about them being published?
Right, like maybe,
but I think they're really good.
Do you think maybe he did it to make money off of her?
Absolutely. That's also why he published The Bell Jar. Mm. Wait, did he publish The Bell Jar? I don't know. I might have made that up. I know what I'm talking about, clearly. Let's see. What else is I talking about? Oh, yeah. Another book that I read recently. I read Everybody Has a Podcast Except You by the McElroy Brothers. I'm not going to talk about that too much because that's pretty self-explanatory. It's the McElroy Brothers who have a successful podcast franchise talking about cool things that you can do to start your own podcast or improve your podcast. And yeah, I feel like I learned a decent amount. If you want to borrow it anytime, I think it has some cool resources for podcast creators for sure. And then the only other like paper book that I've read that I wanted to talk about was In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado. I have talked about her before. She wrote a collection of She wrote a collection of short stories called Her Body and Other Parties. And I remember describing a few of her stories as it was like reading a fever dream. And that's kind of how reading this book was too, in some situations. I mean, it's coherent, but it's very intense. And personally, it was very easy for me to put myself in her shoes and feel her feelings. And it's basically detailing a relationship she had with a woman that was very abusive, emotionally abusive. She talks a lot about how queer relationships aren't talked about in a domestic abuse sort of light, and how people minimize that. Like, how can a woman beat the shit out of a woman? Like, it's like really shitty, but it gets minimized a lot. And so she kind of talks about that a lot. And her writing style is amazing. And I feel like I don't have enough brain cells to describe how unique and interesting her writing style is, for sure. I just recommend that everybody checks it out. It was a fascinating read and a fast read, for sure. I got through it really quickly. I listened to a few audiobooks. One of them was called Wonderland by Zoj Stage. That one is about a family who moves to a very remote farmhouse in upstate New York, from New York City. The mother figure, the mother in the family, is a retired ballet dancer, and it had been her ballet career that had really like afforded them their life in New York City. She'd paid all the bills with it. And once she retired, they moved out to this like remote area so that her husband could focus on painting, and they had two kids. And so they were really excited to just live this life away from the hustle and bustle of the city. And of course, you know, things go bad as they are wont to do. And it's like really creepy, like atmospherically, like there isn't like a monster creeping down the halls. The evil entity that they're experiencing is like the land. And you feel like suffocated and remote with them. The way that it's just like the way that it's written, you just feel like trapped when you listen to it. It's really creepy. And it's not like a jump scare kind of book, but it's like a building dread kind of thing. And
atmospheric.
It's like, yeah, it's atmospheric for sure. But like, you can't think of a way out for them of their situation. And it's just like, because sometimes, you know, you read scary books or watch scary movies and you're like, well, if you just leave or something like that, you can think of a simple solution. There's no simple solution in this book. And it's creepy. It builds dread for sure. And then the other one I wanted to talk about before we talk about Queenie is, it's a book called Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. It's kind of classic, I guess. It was written in the 1930s. I've heard it referred to as a gothic literature book before, and I guess I can kind of see that. The setting is a little bit gothic. It's like an old estate on the sea, but I had to take out my earbuds. Sorry. So it's an old estate on the sea, and the mistress of the house has died mysteriously. And I guess that's like those are the main gothic components of it. But basically it's about a very young woman she's the main character, but she's never given a name, really. She's hired as a companion for this like old rich American lady. And they're on the Côte d'Azur in France on vacation. And basically she meets this like mysterious older gentleman named Mr. De Winters, and they only know each other for a short period of time, but he's like, I want to marry you and take you back to my home, Mandalay, which is in England. It's like this huge estate on the sea. And so she marries him. I think before she marries him, she finds out that like he'd had a wife named Rebecca, but she died suddenly in a sailing accident. And so she agrees to marry him. She's just like this meek little thing. There are things that I really like about the main character. Like she's prone to fancy. Like she likes to just daydream a lot. And a lot of the book is her like daydreaming about how her life's going to end up. And she's very socially awkward and it's adorable. But at the same time, she's super meek. And she basically from the get-go lets this guy just kind of like, he's not abusive, but he's emotionally negligent a lot of the time, and sometimes even manipulative. She just kind of lets him be an asshole sometimes, and she never stands up for herself, and she's always like, oh no, it was me, I was the one that was wrong. And I'm like, oh, sister, come on. So she moves to this estate, and the head maid lady of the house is a total asshole to her and makes her feel like shit all the time. And basically she's like, you're never going to be as good as Rebecca was. And your husband is never going to love you as much as he loved Rebecca. And you're just like this meek little replacement and you'll never be as good as Rebecca was. And basically just like terrorizes her while she's staying there. And then eventually you find out that, eventually you find out that the husband was the one that killed Rebecca. And instead of like, cause he just like was sick of her shit, I guess Rebecca, she was a very strong willed woman and she cheated on him a lot. So he killed her. The main character, instead of being horrified that her new husband had killed his wife, she was like, oh, thank God you didn't love her as much as you love me. And I'm like, oh, what? And then a lot of the book is her just like hoping that her husband doesn't get caught for murdering his old wife. And I'm just like, the writing style of this book is amazing. The prose is excellent. The descriptions of the estate that they're living on, like I could freaking smell the sea air. Like it was so well written in that regard. But I just hated the like blatant sexism. But I like try to remind myself that it was written in the 1930s. But also like I feel like no, that's not an excuse, because I think Pride and Prejudice was like more fucking feminist than this book was. Like this book is just good to read, but also like here's where I ended up. In 13 years that book enters the public domain and I'm gonna rewrite it to be feminist and maybe gay. I haven't decided, but at least I'm gonna make it feminist.
Those are good.
And
good.
So yeah, it'll be in 1934 or 2034 it enters the public domain. So I think I'm going to just have to rework it, because there are lots of elements of the book that I liked. I did like the socially awkward main character because she portrayed the awkwardness really, really well. But I hated how like she did end up just being kind of meek. I don't know.
Was there no development, or was there like development in the wrong direction?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically kind of both. There wasn't a lot of development. And when she does finally find her, like, power, I think she just uses it to back up this dude who killed his wife, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have very mixed feelings about it. Like I said, as far as writing style goes, Daphne du Maurier is amazing, but I just didn't really like the point that she was driving home with that one. Because another thing is Rebecca, she did cheat on her wife. That's never a reason to kill anybody. But other than that, she seemed like a very strong-willed woman. Like, she was basically like, no one's going to stand in my way of me doing my thing. I will marry this guy because that's what is expected of me in society, but I'm going to continue doing my own thing. She, like, sailed her own boats. She did horseback riding. She just did whatever the fuck she wanted. And I think almost like she got punished for that in the long run. Like the end story of the book is that like, if you're a wild, independent woman, your husband's going to kill you. And if you're a meek, quiet, shy girl, then you're good. The murderer loves you. Like, That's not, you know what I mean? It was a great. So like I said, I'm going to watch the movie like tonight just because I'm curious. But yeah, I want to completely redo it. That's my goal. All right. Yeah. So that's it.
All right.
Want to talk about Queenie?
Yeah, we can talk about Queenie.
Queenie.
Can I go first? I don't know how to start this. I don't know.
I forgot everything about it. I'm just kidding. Queenie is a really good book. Both of us listened to the audiobook version. It's written by Candice Cardi Williams. Well, okay, but they're British. So when the lady was like, Candice Cardi Williams, they're from the UK.
She is.
And so the audiobook is written.
Sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
She is British Jamaican, which I think is really interesting.
I've never
had a book about a character that is British Jamaican. I always, like, mm-mm. While I was listening to it, I mean, the book was read perfectly, by the way. Definitely, I think this is a book mm-hmm. that's worth listening to. Because you get mm-hmm. a lot of, maybe it's just the person who did it so well, but you really get a lot of I just think I get a lot of things that I would not have gotten if I had just read it myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
A lot of like her emotions
for myself,
are, like in the lingo and just the way they speak comes through so much clearer when you listen to the audiobook. If that makes any sense. I personally liked how there was always the conversation about the casual racism she experiences, like, daily, mm-hmm. especially with her dating white men a lot, and how they sort of act like attraction to her is, like, a gift. Like, mm-hmm. lucky that they're attracted to her, and then they're always talking about her body type, like her butt and her boobs being bigger. Just weird stuff. Mm,
they fetishize her.
They definitely do. And then even stuff that she experiences in the workplace where people just assume that she does things or acts in certain ways because she's black. And it's like, I've always said that the problem with racism is that, specifically with racist white people, is that they always attribute black as a personality type instead of a race. So it's like we always... do things because we're black, you know what I mean? It's not because we're individuals, it's because we're black. And I think that they did a really good job of letting that shine through this book.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also a lot of pointing towards the oh god, my brain is stupid right now. She talks a lot about the gentrification of her neighborhood, the British Jamaican neighborhood that she had grown up in, that her grandparents had lived in. Yeah, I think this book does a good job of bringing those up without making it entirely about those points too. You know what I mean?
It also slides in some like Black Lives Matter things. Like at one point she actually goes to a right. Black Lives Matter protest. Philando Castile was mentioned in it, and there was another mm-hmm. person, I don't think they named them, or if they did, I didn't remember, that they were using as an example of violence against Black people, but they did a really good job of not making it the full subject of the story.
Right.
I agree.
Well, and that goes along with what you were saying about, like, at work, too. Like, she worked for a sort of...
It's like a journalist.
No, not a newspaper.
Maybe
journal.
Yeah, I think, because I think she was a journalist, or she was, like, mm-hmm. editing for journalists or something like that.
Right. And she kept trying to take these stories to her boss about, like, race-related issues and Black Lives Matter issues. And she just kept being kind of, I don't want to say put down, but just, like, ignored, I guess? Or, like, told that, like, nobody wants to read these things.
That's exactly what she was told.
Yeah.
And at one point, she took her idea to the meeting, and they said she wanted to talk about Black Lives Matter. And someone in the meeting said, all lives matter.
Yeah, yes.
Jesus. I think also what I liked about Queenie, I think she's the perfect depiction of a millennial. I think when we talk about her mental health, which is something that she herself mm-hmm. is sort of realizing the older she gets and the sort of more manic she gets, the like sex addiction thing that sort of happens as a result of her breakup with Tom, like a lot of these things, she even like having to reconnect with her family are just a lot of things that I think is almost normal these days to experience as a millennial, mm-hmm. because we're so like mental health aware. And we see her through mm-hmm. from the start of the book to the end of the book, like realizing that she needs to like talk to someone and get some help and like figure her things out, because a lot of her behaviors, right. especially while she was with Tom, were mental health related, and she wasn't really aware of that at the time. So I really liked that too. I thought she right. really is the perfect depiction of a millennial woman, or just a millennial in general.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking a lot. I just really like.
Yeah, me. I agree. No, you're fine. And I appreciated the fact that, like, while most of her family was kind of horrified at the idea of her seeking out the mental health help with like a therapist, her grandfather was the one that was like, you know, if you need to do this, yeah. then do it. You know, if it's what's best for you, then there's no shame in that kind of thing. Yeah. I appreciated that.
And that's also an interesting topic, because mental health in the Black community is lacking, like, severely. It is a normal instance for your family to tell you that you don't need a therapist. That's crazy. Like, that is a stigma. So I thought mm-hmm. that was also really interesting. They did a really good job of just bringing up these like social political things casually, you know,
in a story that ultimately is like, you know, an entertaining love story. But yeah, she worked all of these different very important elements into mm-hmm. it, which is awesome. Yeah.
I loved Queenie. I understand why yeah. it was really popular. And
yeah,
I had said that it was like the Black Bridget Jones, but it's not, and this is better. It's not. It's just like,
yeah.
It's just like when people called Viola Davis the Black, who's that woman from Mamma Mia?
Meryl
yes,
Streep.
Yes, they called her the Black Meryl Streep, and it's like, she's not the Black Meryl Streep. She's just Viola Davis. This is not
right.
the Black
right.
version of Bridget Jones. This is Queenie. You know?
That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, loved it. Like, it's I think everyone good. Should try to read Queenie.
Me too.
I wasn't expecting to like it that much, but
I think everyone should listen to it.
Oh yeah, listen to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes audiobook. I'm so glad you've like been listening to so many audiobooks yeah. lately. They're so much fun to listen to.
I like and I think people should add them to their Goodreads lists. Listening to an audiobook,
mm-hmm.
if you absorb something and take it away, congrats, you read the book, okay? Add it to your Goodreads list. There should be no shame in that. I do.
Damn, I would have like double the books in my thing if I actually put those on my Goodreads.
You should, maybe just so you can see that. Like how many books you absorb through a year. Like maybe don't do it this year,
because
but start in 2022 and add your Audible books okay. and see like how many books you're actually taking in.
Yeah, I listen to way more audiobooks than I do read, because I don't necessarily have time to yeah. read, but I can listen to audiobooks when I'm working, jogging,
driving,
doing dishes, yeah. driving, right? All of it.
I specifically have been listening to them while working, because it helps me focus a lot. So mm-hmm. I've been just taking
me
them
too.
In. And I'm like awesome. Also, like, it's weird how I can be focused on my work and also fully enveloped in this book. Because when I was listening to A Killer's mm-hmm. Mind, I was like, What happened now? That book had me on the edge of my seat. Oh my God.
I remember I was like manic when I was listening to Broken Monsters. I like kept standing up like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Such a good book.
Let me remind myself to look that up. Broken Monsters.
It's so good.
That's the one you sent to me at work today, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Broken Monsters by Lauren Bukes. It's very good.
Okay.
I think that's another one that honestly would be better listened to than read, because there's so many different characters in it, and it's like it rotates points of view by chapter, which means the chapters are read by different voice actors, and it does a really good job. It feels like you're watching a TV show, even though you're not, you know what I mean? Like,
I feel that's like that's so how, if anxious people, I'm sure there is an audiobook. I feel like that's how anxious people would be. Because they're like, even in the book, it's like, you know, every chapter it might be a different person and then go back to other people. And then there are like some of the chapters are Jim and Jack, the, you know, the police father and son, who are actually interrogating everyone who was at the open house.
Okay.
So there are pages of them questioning them, which are so funny. But I feel like that, and then jumping back into the actual plot of the story, would be super cool to listen to. I think you'd get more.
I'm interested. I love it when books rotate points of view like that. That's one of the first things that I really liked about reading Gone Girl, is it flips between Nick and Amy.
I've never read Gone Girl.
And it's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
It's on my list. You know,
it's one of my favorite books, for sure. Maybe the audiobook. I bet the audiobook of that would be good, too. So it flips back and forth between Amy and Nick, and the way that it weaves the story together is awesome. I mean, very similarly to Dark Places, mm-hmm. you know, that one flips between Libby currently and then her brother, whose name I forgot, back in the past, and her mother back in the past. And it's the way that it slowly braids the story together is amazing.
Yeah, that's Gillian Flynn. Like, that is literally, I feel like any book that I've ever read that jumps characters like that, always the way it wraps up in the end, like even with anxious mm-hmm. people, I'm just going to keep hammering that into people's brains. It's so good.
Good.
Even with that book, it was like perfectly put together when it all comes together at the end. You're just like, I didn't see it coming, but I can see it now. Like, you know what I mean? Which I really,
it's
I like
so satisfying.
Huh?
Yeah. It's so satisfying when you start to see the actions of one of them trickle into like the other characters' storylines. You know what I mean? And so when they start to come together,
it's real good.
It's good.
Well, we like to read.
All right. Well, now I'm going to have to read Anxious People.
You have to read Anxious People. It's so good.
Okay, I will.
Let me know when you read The Night Swim. All right.
Yes. Oh, it's after our one that we just got that I can't think of the name. You Love Me. Yeah.
I posted on our Instagram that we were going to read that soon.
Yay. I'm just going to finish up Johnny Panic and then I'm going to start that one. Hopefully I'll have that done by, right.
What'd you say?
I don't know when I'll have, I said, hopefully I'll have Johnny Panic done by the end of this weekend, maybe. We'll see. And then I can start it.
I mean, we have.
I think it'll be an easy read.
What, You Love Me?
Yeah, because all of her books, I've been like,
yeah, I can't wait. I was going to start it since I finished The Black Witch, which was the one physical book I was reading. I was going to go ahead and get started on that one and then jump between my audiobook and reading You Love Me in between. Your girl got a lot going on.
We'll get through it. Yeah, for real.
But I can't wait to talk about it.
All right. One.
But I think we can wrap it.
All right. That's our wrap. Thank you for listening to us chatter on about the things that we love. If you want to get a hold of us, there are a few ways to do that. You can email us at goodreadsbetterfriendspodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. If you have art that you'd like to share with us, flash fiction, poetry, anything you want to share with us, we want to share your art with our followers. So just hit us up. Let us know.
Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram at goodreads_betterfriends, where I just post book memes and like nothing else. You can follow me personally at i-ish-ug. That's I as in your eyeball. That's basically on anything.
You can follow me on Instagram at certified_morganic. And also you can find us on Tumblr at goodreadsbetterfriendspod@tumblr.com. That's where I post the show notes. I put links to where you can buy our books. Not our books. The books that we read. We'll have a book one day, I'm sure.
That'd be cool.
I put links to, I tell you where you can stream the different shows that we talk about. I just kind of throw whatever we talk about into a little chunk of links. So, yeah, if you want to see our show notes, check us out there. thanks for listening to us.
Thanks. I guess we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.